Now it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you haven't noticed, but I'm sure you have, a war is going on out in the world. Cosmic war, actually, to be specific. And no, it's not the Man of Steel versus the Dark Knight. It's not Spider-Man versus the Green Goblin. And it's not the sibling rivalry between Thor and his brother Loki. That's fantasy, though it'd be fun. That is an idle tale. The cosmic war is not, in this sense, a fantasy or an idle tale. As you well all know in your various vocations and lives, it's real. It's painful. It's heartbreaking. It's somber. Sorrowful. This is a war that not is only cosmic in its sense, but also between life and death. It's between belief and unbelief. It's between the Christian confession and the paganism of our world. Between the Lord God, who is mercy and life, versus this Satan, who is the arsonist and murderer from the beginning. For from the beginning, since our fall into sin, Satan has worked death everywhere. And I'm sure you've noticed that. It's under the ground as you walk the tombstones of family crypts. It's inches away as you watch someone exhale their last breath. It's there every time you refresh your news feed on your Android or Apple smartphone. And humanity with great gusto is attempting to conceal death with hospital curtains and the undertaker's makeup kit. And even worse, with fierce rage, humanity continues to cry out for the death of those that they deem unworthy of life, even as they try to control the blessedness of new life coming forth. That was, after all, the sinister plan of Satan. And he is wielding his sickle of death quite masterfully among us. The wages of sin is death, and therefore sinful man plays Satan's game. Having turned inward upon themselves, and as they war against one another, pawns in a fight to the death. And sadly, it seems that death always wins. That no one escapes death, that everyone fears dying. No matter how much you and I protest about various sentimental or rational levels, that death is a good thing, or that we try to convince ourselves that this is some sort of natural cycle of things and it was just simply his or her time to go. No, St. Paul cries out after us, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Can anyone? Has anyone ever cheated death? Has anyone ever kept their heart and flesh alive from death? For that is what awaits the women as they hasten early to the tomb of Jesus. Death. No one escapes it. Death even took Jesus. With spices in hand, they desired to give Jesus a proper burial. He was their friend and rabbi, after all. He was a good and righteous man, and they killed him. No, they nailed him, actually, to a tree on trumped-up charges. Death came to Jesus like it came and comes for all men. their eyes washed, assuming that this was his humiliation and weakness as nails and wood drained his life from his body. And to the grave he went, just like all other men. Love wins resurrection? That's an idle tale. Satan and death and sin, that's what wins. And we have countless examples of this staring us right into our eyes. And the women, they go to the tomb seeking the living among the dead. How true is that of us? We're always looking for life in the wrong places. Always thinking that we created life and we can extend life however far we think we can do so. It would seem these days that eternal life is the grand science project of humanity. Immortality, the world says, will one day figure it out for you. Sure they will. No, they won't. We think that we can shift the balance, however, with this immortality and this cosmic war by our own efforts. And it goes like this. This is the thinking. Well, if I sin and I disobey God, then the scales tip toward Satan. But if I obey God and I don't sin, then the scales tip toward God. And so I think that everything depends on my obedience. If I'm good enough, maybe, just maybe, I will win the war and I will go to heaven. If I'm not good enough, then, down, down I go. So I better try with all my might, right? I better not leave anything unfinished. I better live a more purpose-driven life. But let's be honest, at least on this day, with God and ourselves and with our neighbor. This is a fool's errand. No matter how hard that you and I try, we are just like the women, looking for the living among dead things. After all, that's what Scripture says about our works and our flesh. All our efforts to obtain eternal life amount to us looking like whitewashed tombs on the outside. We look great on the outside, but rotten to the core on the inside. And let's face it, you and I, we know this. And if we fail to confess this, we simply deceive ourselves. We are not what God wants us to be. Attentive parents, so obedient children, sacrificial husbands, dutiful wives, loving, kind, patient, not envious, rude, irritable, or resentful. No, we're none of that. Instead of fighting the good fight of faith, we are involved with fighting each other over and over again. The wages of sin is death, and the soul that sins shall die, the Scripture says. No one escapes death. I won't, you won't, nobody does. And so it would seem to even the apostles who heard the announcement of the resurrection, that all this talk of resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven was an idle tale. It was fantasy. Because Satan wins, sin wins, death wins. Because look, it even took Jesus. Yes, the cross and death took Jesus. But I know that you know that, surprise, surprise, that was a good thing. After all, it was called Good Friday. So what you won't do, what you can't do, what your will is in bondage that you don't do, God does in His Son for you. It's utter foolishness, but it is the wisdom of the cross that God wins by losing. Yes, death took Jesus. Yes, death saw Jesus as just another man being crucified next to two other men. Another sinner just condemned for unspeakable sinful acts. But you and I know that Jesus was not just another man. That He is the God-man. That He is God in the flesh. Jesus was not just another sinner. For we confess, mysteriously, that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God. So Jesus offered Himself up to the deepest stroke that pierced Him, which was the stroke that justice gave. And He made no excuses, nor did He offer any justifications. When Pilate announced to this ravenous crowd that wanted to crucify Jesus, he said, "Behold the man." Now, he might as well have said, "Behold the sinner." But that is precisely what Jesus became for us. As the sinner, He took every sinner's place. As the sinner, He suffered every sinner's punishment of their sins. And as the sinner, He suffered the sinner's death that was His tomb, wherein He was, that is, the sinner was supposed to lay. But Jesus wasn't a sinner. He was without sin. And Satan and death, having took the bait in the flesh of Jesus, they were now hooked, and not in a good way. It was alluded to at morning matins that, like Jonah, think Jonah, the Lord of life was swallowed up by death and held in this dark tomb for 3 days. But surprise, Satan bit off more than he could chew. Death tried to swallow more than it could actually swallow. And Satan and death thought that they had won. That the heavens and all the people therein in heaven and earth were theirs. Were their possession. But not so fast, sin, Satan, and death. Along came the third day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That, my friends, is no idle tale. On the third day, the stone was rolled away. On the third day, the angels that barred humanity from Eden, their swords were placed back into their sheaths. Whereas the early church would confess, it was doused by your baptism. On the third day, the women hear the good news in the midst of death and sorrow. And on the third day, Jesus is risen. Death is destroyed. The grave is cracked open. And hell lies beneath the feet of Jesus. Satan cast down to hell. Humanity is redeemed and now awaits eternal life in Jesus who rose from the grave. He is, as St. Paul confesses, the first fruits of them that sleep, that have died. There's no greater phrase in the ears of men than this, that Jesus is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. For just like the apostles, we hear this news not very often, but we should hear it more often. But I think that it really does, in a lot of ways, seem like an idle tale to us. And to such thinking that we think that way, we are called to repent and to believe the message of the resurrection of our God. To turn away from our sin, to turn away from fantasy tales and egocentric projects of immortality, and to believe that Jesus has burst not only his own tomb wide open, but also yours. Now, you are not given to figure this out. You are not given to try and understand what has happened here. You are simply to believe it by the gracious acts that you hear and know that are for you and for your salvation. The resurrection of our Lord and our eternal life in that resurrection does not hang on our ability to believe, but on Jesus who has risen from the dead and is the cornerstone of your faith and your eternal future. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, because Jesus is the only one who has loved you all the way until your earthly end and has given up his life for you, because Jesus is the only God who is the way, the truth, and the life, he therefore calls you by his gospel. That is what creates faith. The Word creates faith. And this cross and this risen tomb petition you to believe, and so you do. You're called to believe by the gospel, and the gospel creates faith in your heart and your mind. So seek after the living things in Jesus, after his gospel and his sacraments. For he is the ever-living one, and these are the holy things that he gives to you that you might live forever, even though one day you and I will all die. Don't waste your time with the dead things of this world, the things that are passing away, the things that you cannot trust. For you, beloved of God, you are given to depend wholly on Jesus, his word, his promise, and it's never, ever an idle tale. It's an indestructible reality that Jesus has brought forth you to receive this message with joy and gladness. So because Jesus lives and reigns to all eternity, this is why we gather here. This is why we gather around his living gifts that are given to us in this place. This is why we are told, do not give up the habit, the practice of gathering around this pulpit and this altar to hear his word and to receive and be fed and nourished with his body and blood within the communion of saints. That you stand together as one body, baptized into one faith, one Lord, and who confess this Jesus as Lord and as the one who has risen from the dead. And why not? Why might you not? Why would you come? Why should you come here? Because Jesus is here, physically present to dole out his salvation gifts to you and to all who come. Amidst the world of death and this cosmic war that is going on, here sits in this place an oasis of life and hope. So don't stay home. Don't listen to all the excuses your sinful flesh comes up with to avoid the gifts of eternal life. Don't continue to try and dig for life in a desert of death. For as this cosmic battle rages around in us and around us, it is a war of life and death. It is a war of belief and unbelief. It is a war that rages for the ethos, that is, the character and the existence of our faith as Christians in this generation and the generations to come. It's not simply just a battle between good and evil, between right and wrong, but between belief and unbelief, between idle tales and the indestructible truth that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead, and that he's overcome by his cross everything that afflicts us in this life, particularly death. So yes, when you look out the window or you look in your life, it will seem that sin, Satan, and death is always winning. But that is the idle tale. For remember, you are baptized children of God, and baptized into his death and resurrection, even you will be raised from your own death to live with him in the resurrected life forever. You are united with Christ in this baptismal bond that cannot be broken, not by sin, not by Satan, not even by death. So we say as Christians this day, let death come, Jesus is risen. Let idle tales mock the resurrection and taunt us, Jesus is risen. Let the devil scare us all that he wants about the end of all that is good and right and true and beautiful, because Jesus is risen. Let the world and your neighbors know this, by the way, that death and the grave, they're toothless powers, and that their sting has long been extinguished, because Jesus is risen. Death cannot end your gladness. Not today, not tomorrow, no, not ever. For you are in Christ Jesus. As the hymnist says, the strife is over, the battle is done. Now is the victor's triumph song. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. And that is no idle tale. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.